If you're trying to hit somebody with a speed up, or you're trying to go aggressive to this area of their body, I would actually venture to go even more this way because there's a very good chance that they will be sliding to their dominant side. So if you're going to be aggressive in transition, just know that there is a good chance that your ball might be going out, because if you take a big swing from that area of the court, especially if it's at the height of your hips, then there's a good chance that that ball will be sailing deep. Hey guys, Jan Zignatovich here. Just wanted to talk about the Selkirk Era Power. I've been using it every day. It's got the most power of any paddle that I've ever used with Selkirk, but the best part about it is the dwell time. I feel like the control is just spectacular on the paddle. It can reset really well, but once you get up to the kitchen, pretty scary to speed up at me because I've got that power. It's got so much pop off the face, and yeah, one of the best paddles I've ever used. Definitely check it out. Hey guys, so thanks for tuning in to another one of my episodes. So we're going to talk about being aggressive in transition. So aggression in transition is something that has definitely come a long way, especially recently, now that paddles have gotten a little bit more powerful and more spinny. So the more powerful and spinny paddles have gotten, players have been able to be a little bit more free to swing above their waist height in the transition area, which I think is key if you're trying to go up in level. Because if you watch the pros, a lot of the pros are being aggressive in transition, especially if the ball is above the height of their hips. So for me, that's a super key thing, is that if I'm making contact with a forehand above the height of my hips, then I will be very aggressive in the transition area. I'm going to be likely to swing on those balls, especially if I can go cross court. So if I'm going cross court, that means I've got an extra 5 feet of space because of the geometry of the court, obviously. So that means that since I have that extra space, I'm going to swing a little bit more often. And when people say that you can't speed the ball up cross court, I would say that that is actually not the case. I think if you want to speed the ball up cross court, you definitely can. You actually have more license to be more aggressive because of that extra distance when you're going cross court, and also because it's tougher to get out of the way of a speed up that is coming from cross court. So if a speed up's coming directly down the line, it's a lot easier to get out of the way of it because you just remove one of your shoulders, try to move this way, pretty easy to sort of hide from that speed up. But if it's cross court, then it gets tougher, because which way do you lean? You know, if you lean this way, then you're still technically in the way of that speed up. If you lean the other way, then it's a little bit easier, but it's not so intuitive to lean to your non-dominant side. So going off on a bit of a tangent here, but actually if you think about it from your own perspective, let's say you see me and I'm about to speed the ball up at you hard, right? And you say, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to try to get out of the way of this thing. Which way would you get out of the way? Which way would you lean, or which way would you move? It seems to me that 90% of players will actually move to their dominant side. So if I'm in anticipation of a big speed up, I'm going to slide to my right, right? I'm going to slide to my right so as to protect my body if it comes here, and then if it goes over there, I'm not in the way of it. So the reason that people slide to their dominant side is because they prefer to cover their chest with their backhand. So if you're somebody that sits forehand in general, or has more of a semi-Western or Western grip, pancake style, then you might be sliding to your left. So in the case of Riley Newman, for example, he's a righty, but if he's in anticipation of a big speed up, he'll be likely to slide this way. Most players, especially players that sit backhand very heavily, almost every time they will be sliding to their dominant side. So what that means is, if you're trying to hit somebody with a speed up, or you're trying to go aggressive to this area of their body, I would actually venture to go even more this way, because there's a very good chance that they will be sliding to their dominant side. So circling back to being aggressive in transition, what that means is, if you're going to be aggressive in transition, just know that there is a good chance that your ball might be going out, because if you take a big swing from that area of the court, especially if it's at the height of your hips, then there's a good chance that that ball will be sailing deep. So what that means is maybe targeting the dominant side of the player that's cross court from you, or even in some cases, the player that's in front of you. Generally, if I can make contact with the ball above my hip height with a forehand, then I will be aggressive with that ball. If I can do the same on a two-handed backhand, I'll do it because I feel like I can impart a lot of pace on that particular shot. And then if I make contact with the ball right at the center of my chest, then I'm going to mostly just slice the reset and try to get in, because it's tough to be aggressive with a one-handed backhand and actually hit it with a lot of pace from the transition zone, especially if it's down here, right? I mean, it's just not as easy to generate a lot of pace with a one-handed backhand in between your shoulders. If you take a big swing with your forehand, it's easier. So then for that same reason, if you're trying to attack somebody that's in transition when you're hitting fourths or you're hitting sixths, and then your opponent's back there in transition, the best place to go, I actually think, is right at them if you're not going to necessarily go right at their feet. So it's a little bit nuanced, but what I like to do is, if I'm going to the sides of their body and I feel like I can get the ball at their feet, then I will make them reach. Because if I can get the ball at their feet, then they're going to be resetting the ball. And it's tougher to hit a reset when you're reaching than it is to hit a reset in between your feet. Everybody practices resets directly in between their feet. It's a lot tougher if you're reaching from one side to the other. So conversely, if you're going to speed it up at somebody in transition and try to get it this area of their body, then you want to go right at the chest. Because if they can make contact with the ball and hit it hard from out here on the outsides of their body, they can take a bigger swing, part a ton of pace on the ball, and make it more difficult for you. Also, it's tougher for them to get out of the way if the ball is hit directly to their center chest. If you get hit directly to their center mass, then they will not be able to get out of the way. And if they do make contact with the ball, they're likely resetting it. But if you go to the left of their left shoulder or the right of their right shoulder, basically outside of their body, then it introduces the variable of them potentially just leaving it. Right? And most people don't get out of the way of balls in transition, which brings me to my next thing, which is that when you're being aggressive at somebody in transition, you can be pretty free with how hard you hit that ball, because not too many people get out of the way of shots in transition, which is interesting because it's easier. You know, people, when they're at the kitchen, they're thinking, okay, the speed up's coming, I'm going to get out of the way of this. It's kind of something you practice. It's a little bit more intuitive, and people will leave those balls a little bit more often. But when you're in the transition zone, you're just thinking, all right, I got to get up to the kitchen. I'm trying to move forward, especially if I'm in the transition zone and I'm being aggressive and I'm trying to poach. So if you're playing against somebody that's in the transition zone trying to be aggressive and poach, then it actually makes a lot of sense to go right at their body with some pace. And if it looks like it might be going out, that's not the biggest thing in the world, because there's a very good chance that they'll hit it, because it's kind of two opposites. Somebody that's trying to move forward and be aggressive and get their forehand involved, or get out of the way of a ball that's coming to them, two things that are totally on the opposite end of the spectrum. And for me, when I'm trying to poach and be aggressive, the last thing that I'm thinking is getting out of the way of the ball. It's very tough to do. It's very tough to be sprinting forward while also dodging a ball. So that's key for me. And it's interesting, when you're doing this, it's actually, for me, it feels like the higher that you go, the better. The lower, it's easier to generate a hard counter. But if it's up here and you go hard at somebody here, they will be more likely to slice that ball because they'll be going from high to low. So if you're going low to high, that's topspin, right? As we know. And if you're going high to low, that's slice. Slices are usually just going to be hit as resets. Most people aren't speeding up their slices, obviously. So that's another thing to consider. Hey guys, James Ignatowicz here. Make sure to not get ghosted in the pickleball group chat. Get play more. We all know the feeling. You're down to play some pickleball. You send a message to your group chat. A couple people like the message. Are you sure you're going to play the game? You don't really know. Play more is a new pickleball app that does that frustrating part for you. I hate setting up games. I try to make sure somebody else does it every single time. But if I have the Play More app, changes everything for me. So you're going to be playing with players your level. No more 5-0 versus 3-0 matchups. It's going to be all streamlined and super easy. So make sure to check out the Play More app. Try it out on the App Store or use the web version at getplaymore.com.
Another thing to consider when you're being aggressive in transition is trying to keep your elbow in front of your body. It's definitely better to do that than it is to swing wildly and let your elbow come behind you. If you keep your elbow in front of your body, then it makes it tougher for you to then miss that next one long, because if an elbow is in front of the body, the forehand counter is more likely to go downward. If it's out here, then it's easier to take a big forehand style swing, like one that you would maybe take on a serve or a drive, and then those ones, while you're moving forward, are more likely to be missed long. So that brings me to the final thing. If you're speeding it up at somebody in transition and then they make contact with a forehand and you see their elbow come behind them, you see them take this big forehand swing and they're making contact down here, be ready to get out of the way of that ball. And it's an interesting situation to be thinking, okay, I'm going to get out of the way of this ball, because if somebody's right there at the kitchen and they take a big swing, you're going to say, okay, this person's very close to the net already. If they take a big swing at the forehand, there's a great chance this ball's going to go out. I'm ready to dodge it. But if they're back there in transition, you know, 5 or 6 feet past the kitchen, then the likelihood that they are going to hit the ball out is technically less, because they're just farther from the baseline. But if somebody's taking a big swing in transition, they're probably moving forward as they do it. So they're probably running forward. They're probably trying to be aggressive and trying to poach. And what that means is there's a great chance they'll miss that one long, because the body weight momentum that you can put on the ball, the more your momentum with your body is moving forward, you know, that's a lot more power than just what you can do with your arm. So that brings me to my next thing, which is probably the best tip for getting out of the way of out balls. And if you're going to remember any part of this podcast, remember this, which is that if you feel like your hand is in a rush to go upward, don't do it. So what that means is, if you're in a rush to go upward, right, with your paddle like this, this motion, that means it's going head height and it's going fast, right? If you're in a rush to go upward, it's going head height and fast. So that means it's probably going out, right? There's not that much court behind you. So try to get this motion out of your pickleball DNA, so to speak, because if you feel like you're doing this, those balls are almost always going out. So what I tried to do is off the court, I would just practice, hey, if I'm going to rush to get my hand upward, I'm just going to stop it. And it's actually that simple. If you feel like you're in a rush to go upward, you're late on the ball anyway, so you're probably not going to generate a hard counter. It makes a lot more sense to just get out of the way of that ball, especially if it's two people engaging in kitchen play. So yeah, that's the key there. Another thing is, if you're trying to be aggressive in transition with the backhand, I would recommend using a two-handed backhand. Using a one-handed backhand can get a little wild in that situation. It's just tougher. And I think generally using a two-handed backhand in transition is easier for me, even resetting. Right, I think all over the map, when you're resetting a ball with a two-handed backhand, you just have either more power if you're winding up and more consistency if you're resetting. I personally feel, you know, there are some people who feel more comfortable with a one-handed backhand reset in transition. So I'm not coaching you and telling you have to use a two-handed backhand reset in transition. But I personally feel like the stability with a two-hander is better than one with one hand, especially as the power increases. So with that being said, if I've got a ton of time and somebody's hit a slower fourth to me, then I will maybe let it bounce, take my time, and then slice it with one hand. So that's a different situation than if somebody's about to crush the ball at me, they've got an overhead up here. If somebody's got an overhead up here, you can be pretty confident that I will be putting two hands on the paddle and just doing this windshield wiper motion with my backhand. So that's the best way to defend off of somebody that is crushing an overhead at you. And it's funny, you'll see this in rec play all the time. Somebody that's, you know, in a tough spot on defense, and they do this with their forehand. And they get caught here, they get caught halfway, and they can't make it to the other side, and they get jammed up like this. You'll see this all the time in rec play. You'll never see that at the pro level, because when somebody's really on big defense in the pro level, and they've got another pro overhead coming at them, they're just going to favor the backhand, because they don't have time to switch from backhand to forehand. It's not possible. With the less time you have, the more likely you should be to hit a backhand. So I'll just reiterate that. The less time you have, the more likely you should be to hit a backhand. Reason for that is you can just cover more of your body of it with it. And in general, a backhand is better than a forehand on defense. So it's a better defensive shot than a forehand. And lastly, in pickleball, you're hitting 70% backhands anyway. I mean, you can cover your chest with a backhand. You can't cover your chest with a forehand. So on that note, I'm going to drink some green juice. Okay, so post green juice, I've come up with a very good drill, I think, to work on the backhand flick. It's two different things, but the main thing is just actually throwing a frisbee around. So I remember when I used to play college tennis, our college tennis coach would have us throw a football before we would practice serves, because the motion is so similar and it helps you a lot. On a backhand flick, it's just like throwing a frisbee. So if you've ever thrown a frisbee, you'll know that it's a more of a releasing motion instead of a holding it in motion, and it should feel like it's coming from behind your shoulder. It doesn't feel like it's coming from your forearm. So that's a key difference. If you see somebody hitting a roll, it's coming from their forearm. If you see somebody hitting a backhand flick, it's coming from their back shoulder. So you should feel it back there. I think it's like the rear delt maybe or something like that. And it should feel like you're just releasing the ball. So for me, throwing the frisbee before you do backhand flicks, super key. Another key with the backhand flick is just keeping your head still. That was something that changed a lot for me. Just keeping my head still completely when I hit the backhand flick helped me, because you're trying to basically throw the paddle in a way that's how it should kind of feel. And with all that motion, it's a pretty violent and fast motion. So the more things that you can control within your body and keep still, I think the better. And then another thing is just kind of sinking into it with your shoulder a bit. So not doing this wind up motion. It shouldn't be like a necessarily a wind up motion that you might see out like somebody hitting a backhand counter with a big swing. That kind of brings me back to where I just was. I was at one of the best clubs that I've been at. It was Hudson River, in New Jersey or New York. Oh goodness, which one was it? It was Hudson River. The guy in charge was Z, and he was the man. We actually had a 2-on-1 exhibition. I played against 2 5-0s at the same time, and I won. So everybody asks, they're always like, James, can you beat 2 5-0s at once? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. If it's 2 5-0s that are good at singles, probably not, because then they can handle my serve. It makes it a lot tougher for me. But if it's 2 5-0 doubles players, like 2 5-0 right side guys, I should win. And so, yeah, we had a big exhibition in front of everybody. It was two guys that said they were 5-0. I mean, that's who knows, right, what the politics of that are. But anyway, yeah, I ended up playing in front of everybody and won. That was a super fun event, super fun day over there with Z. So I remember that one particularly. But one thing I remember about that day is that people were taking big swings on their backhand counter and letting their shoulder kind of go from left to right when they did it. That's a big no-no on the backhand counter, because if you're moving your shoulders violently from left to right, then that's totally going to diminish your reload speed. You're not going to have enough time. You've got to just stay square and stay compact. So That's the key. When you're in a hands battle or even when you're hitting a backhand flick, setting yourself up for those shots, you keep your shoulders pretty square to the opponent. You can sink in a little bit, but in general, if you're going like this, then you're not going to have enough time. And the better you get, the longer hands battles are going to go on. The longer that hands battles are going to go on, the less you want your body moving. That's all we got. Thanks for watching.